a special throwback with Natasha Campbell and Natalie. Listen to the entire episode at the podcast, The Wealth Stylist, number 28, as we highlight and close Women's History Month with other amazing women of color podcasters.
Welcome to the Wealth Stylist Podcast, a podcast for women who want to elevate their thinking, increase their confidence with money, and discover the path to building a meaningful business. I'm your host, Natasha Campbell, founder of WealthStylist.com, money expert, speaker, and coach. I'm not your average money expert. That's because I aim to do more than to teach you how to budget and save for your audacious goals. Women like you come to me to live happier, financially healthier, and more fulfilled in life. If you're ready to design the life that you love, then you're in the right place. Natalie Torres Haddad is an immigrant TEDx speaker advocating on the importance of financial literacy and mental health. Natalie is an international award-winning author in the economics category for her first book in 2012, a bilingual podcast host on Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, international keynote speaker, and executive director of Financially Fit Foundation. Her activities have been featured in the Huffington Post, LA Times, LA Business Journal, and 60 Second Docs that has over a million views since published a month ago. A first-generation college graduate with degrees in finance and international business with a master's in public administration. She focuses on helping college grads and those facing debt to keep working towards their financial independence. Born in El Salvador and raised in Inglewood during the LA riots, she quickly learned that the lack of higher education and financial illiteracy limits her community on basic human rights and equality and resources. She started investing in real estate at age 24, founded a nonprofit, and began her career advocating for financial empowerment. She resides in Los Angeles with her husband and two dogs. Tune in to episode 28. How to Earn More as a Self-Published Author. I'm super excited to have Natalie Torres Haddad on the Wealth Stylist Podcast. Now, I met Natalie at FinCon Orlando 2018, and I remember sitting next to her, and she just had like this big smile on her face. It was so inviting. And since then, we've always been connected, and I'm truly excited to have her share how to earn money by being a self-published author. So welcome, Natalie.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure speaking with you. And I felt the same way when I sat next to her. I was like, ooh, I like her energy.
So Natalie, before we deep dive in, could you share with us who you are and what you do?
Yes. So we met at FinCon. So shout out to FinCon. And ooh. I'm known as Financially Savvy Latina, the social media market size. And I actually, I advocate on financial literacy. And part of it is mental health too, since that's pretty much what my whole platform has been, is the importance of why financial literacy needs to be taught, not just in the university school levels, but at work. And last year I did a TED talk on that reason. So for me, what I do is basically I get hired by companies, universities, and I do presentations on financial literacy, and I managed to incorporate some of the bilingual literacy in there because that's the reality of living in the US, and it's particularly Los Angeles where I'm from. I've been doing that, and a podcaster and author and real estate investor, and I'm sure many other things. Oh yeah. And also a nonprofit. So yeah.
Wow. You wear many hats, Natalie. And I love to watch your Instagram page because you're always speaking somewhere. You're always making an impact. You're always showing up in purpose. And I salute you for that.
Oh, thank you. And I think that's such an important part that we have to, not just support each other as women, but support each other because we are in that same industry. And it's unfortunately a small industry that we need more and more people, not only teaching, but advocating the importance of it. So I appreciate you saying that.
Now, Natalie, could you share a little bit with us about your own personal money story and how you actually got started into that space?
Yeah, my own personal money story. You know, I think it started as a child, and people can watch the TED talk for more information. But I think what launched me into this type of career I did study finance and international business as my undergrad, and then eventually did my master's. But I actually found myself with a lot of student debt, and I was fortunate enough that I did buy a rental property when I was 24 years old, and then several after. But after my first one, my first rental property, I was attending grad school and found myself in so much more debt than, not just because I was earning okay, but I was also dealing with so much going on in the economy at the time. The market crash was literally just happening. And I also was running a very large successful nonprofit. It was our fourth year. And I had just lost my job because it was also around real estate. And I was in my, you know, late 20s now, thinking, oh my gosh, what's next? And I started to spiral in a depression. I was always anxious, and I felt very ashamed and alone because nobody was talking mm-hmm. about student debt at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm a first generation college grad. I'm also an immigrant. So having to navigate that whole space was completely foreign to me. And literally that's what the name of the TED Talk is, a foreign language of financial literacy. And so for me, I was lucky enough that I had some support, and I figured out there were some resources, and I had some great mentors, and I was lucky I had some great family and friends that supported me along the way. But I figured, I'm like, look, if this is a concept that is still really difficult for me to grasp, and I have the degrees in finance and, you know, just kind of a better, and I love math, and I'm like, you know, I'm those kind of financial nerds, you know, obviously, but I'm thinking, man, if I find it hard, I can imagine anyone else who really can't stand this. So that's really what catapulted me into not only creating different content on different platforms, but also being able to share my experience, because I didn't come from money. I grew up in Inglewood, for those that know the, you know, there's so many, I think I can't even mention how many rap songs and movies have been made out of from Inglewood back then. And I grew up during the LA riots. So I grew up with a lot of challenges that majority of people are faced with, also coming from an immigrant family. And I just figured, okay, there has to be an easier way. And I've been lucky enough that universities and companies just started to hear my story. And I did read, and you're obviously going to talk about my book. Yes. And my book actually came out, and I think I mentioned this to you prior, where it was during a happy hour. It really kind of clicked in my head. At that time, I was already speaking at some universities, talking about how to pay down our and deal with our student debt. And I was at the happy hour with my girlfriends, and most of them had their college paid for, but they were still dealing with a lot of debt. And, you know, we're living in California where rent is extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I had just literally bought my first rental property, and I had paid off one of my loans. And they're like, oh, it's because you've always been good with money. I'm like, no, I had to learn so much. You know, there's just so much aside from college that I had to invest in. And then I thought, you know what? And I would always tell them, read these books, like the Tony Robbins or the Susie Orman, or, you know, books that I thought could be at least somewhat fun. Mm-hmm. But I also understood those books didn't really relate to us, our generation. So I'm like, okay, if they're not going to read those books, and I would recommend all these big books, like maybe I can come up with something. And at that time, I would get the same questions my friends were asking me. And so I thought, during the presentations, I would used to write out the answers, like a kind of like a PDF file. Mm-hmm. And give it to them. And while I'm at happy, I'm like, you know, why don't I just do like a guidebook, a full on with those answers, and just talk a little bit about how this can help them fix their credit, deal with, you know, the runaway spending, all these things that I talk about in my book. And I wanted to do it under 20 minutes, because if you're commuting, if you're a college student, or you just don't have the time, you can take 20 minutes out of your day, literally, if you're sitting in the bus or wherever, to read it. And my mom actually helped me with the title, and I loved it because it allowed me to share that story quick in a good hard copy, and also became a really good resume. One of my mentors back in college said, one day you need to write a book. And I'm like, why? Who cares? Like, who cares about me? But I like how he said it. He said, it's not about you. He's like, it's about telling your story. He's like, everyone's unique. Everyone has their own story. And he's like, when you write your book, it's like having the best resume out there. You don't have to sell yourself. And the book is not about me. It's not like, here's my life story. It's nothing actually about me, but it's actual tangible experiences and things that I had to overcome. I'm, you know, fixing your credit, paying down debt, dealing with credit card debt. I even have like little worksheets in it. And it was basically something that I was an expertise in, because not only did I live it, but I was teaching it. So that allowed me to hone in. And I was trying to figure out how to go the publishing route. It was really difficult. You know, you have to have an agent. I went to different, and I just said, you know what, I'm just going to self-publish. And so in 2012, it came out after, yeah, writing it for about 2 years. It took me a while to get there. And then, you know, the whole process of editing, finding, you know, the right company to do so, marketing company, all this fun stuff. And in 2012, it came out. And a couple years later, it was really a game changer for me when people started to hire me more based on someone either read my book or heard me speak at a presentation. And, you know, so it became such a part of my selling, you could say. I don't really sell books like my book quantity on Amazon yet, and I should, but for me, it's been such a great tool for me, because I know they're getting it from literally a conference that they attended, a presentation, or someone gave them the book. And it's just allowed me to be able to share my story. And the funniest thing is, and you've seen my book, the cover of it, it's just so funny, because I did not think about putting my picture at all in the book. Like I was like, it's about finance, you know. I was lucky I even won an award for it. It was in the economics category. And I thought, why would I need to put a picture maybe on the back, like an author or whatever? But the marketing team that luckily I had hired, they're like, no, you should have the pictures, you know, big in front, in the front cover, because one, there's hardly any women speaking about financial literacy, and that, let alone women of color that look like you, that are young like you, and that have your experience, and you should have it. I'm like, okay. So there's this big picture of me. I hated it. And till this day, I look at it, I'm like, why? But they were right on. They were dead on. And you have no idea how many times people come up to me, especially women particularly. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, it's great to see representation on the book. It's great to see that it's you and that you're young, and it's not like this old person that we have no connection with. And I really always take that as such a compliment. So, you know, sometimes you have to seek advice from people that really they're talking about. And that was really the case. So that's kind of how part of that route became.
Oh, wow. You touched on so many different points and so many different elements from sharing your story. And I can totally relate how, you know, studying personal finance, being financial, well, at least for me, being financially dysfunctional, and then life hits you, and then you have to get into mm-hmm. practicing how to actually manage your money wisely, changing your mindset, and then also looking for ways to earn more. And with your book, it's titled Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. And I love the title, because like you said, everyone has that small glimpse of time where they can sit and read the book and get the information in practical, easy to read steps. Now, Natalie, how did you go from idea to conception? You know, I know many times a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs, they want to get their book out there, but before they invest their precious, you know, time, resources, and money, what are some of the best practices for them to consider?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I've been on a few panels recently this month for Women's History Month with that same question. And this is the best one that I could give advice on, is you have an idea that you want to get out there, write it down. Like whether it's, even if you're not deciding to do a book later on, which I highly recommend you still do, because obviously guess what? It's passive income. It's something you don't have to do over and over. Right. Mm-hmm. But take the time to just sit down and write it. And that's going to take process of time. I mean, it's a really is a process for me. It took me almost 2 years. I had to cut it and, you know, I mean, I had to make it extremely short, but it allowed me to have other opportunities, because my next book is part of the Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes series, is how to buy a property at a young age. And mm-hmm. what happens is if you start off with one idea, other ideas come to mind. Other people want to collaborate, work with you, hire you, sponsor you. And for me, it was just sitting down and writing was probably one of the most difficult parts first. And then second is getting past the negative comments. And it's not necessarily just the outside world. It's within your own mind. So it's kind of like, who am I to write this book? And am I crazy to do this? At the time too, I didn't know anybody who had written a book. And this was back before all these online, you know, cool spaces that you could publish your own book that are available now. This was back in 2010. And so it was kind of like, it was really an investment. It's really a process of, okay, what do I need to do first? I had no clue. And I did some research, and I reached out to some people that did have a book already. But obviously everyone has their own journey. And mm-hmm. then I started off with my first draft. And when I finally felt comfortable with that draft, I gave it to my friends as a gift for Christmas. And it was because of them during happy hour that I was like, you know what, they'll give me the best feedback. And they came back with great feedback too. They're like, oh, this is helpful. Mm-hmm. And can you make this a little bit easier to understand? And I'm like, cool. And then I went through that whole process of like, okay, how do I go about making this more tangible and real? And, you know, found the right editors. And I think it was like little step after step, even buying like ISBN number and then going through the process of getting the pictures and the colors and choosing the font. Like it's every little detail. And that's when people, I totally feel it when other authors tell me, oh my God, I just came out my book. And I congratulate them, one, because I go, I know it's like giving birth to a baby. It's mm-hmm. something that you've been working on for years. It's putting yourself out there, and it's out there in paper too. You know what I mean? So it's like, once it's out there, it's just like you do stuff online nowadays, it can come back to you. Right. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was kind of that whole, it was very therapeutic. And you and I have talked about this before, about the dysfunctional side of our money story.
Yes.
Well, that book was really, I wasn't trying to teach people to be like, hey, you can be, you know, ballin' for, you know, rich and all that stuff. It's go, you know, for me, it was just giving them something that will allow them to feel less alone, less ashamed, get a better tangible, or not tangible, be better at managing their money, feeling more confident with it, and understanding that they can get out of debt. And there's also ways to make sure you stay out of it again, right? Prevent it. And so I wanted to make sure people didn't have to, you know, go about, okay, how do I figure this out? Does this make mm-hmm. sense? And I read some books where I'm like, really, you guys are giving this as an advice for every, you know, I hate that. And I'm not going to call out some authors that I totally admire, but I'm like, I read some of their books and I'm like, halfway through, I'm like, okay, I understand this because I've been doing this for years, and I've been, you know, I don't expect someone else that is literally just starting it out for the first time. So it definitely is a process, but getting out of that negative funk, when people are telling you, I got so many comments of like, oh, you know, your English isn't that great, or your writing. Oh, wow. And I'm like, okay. And yeah. Oh, and it's so hard because you take it, especially with people that you look up to, or you don't expect that comment. And for me, I kind of was already like expecting that, because I'm like, yeah, first of all, English is not my is not my first language. You know, and English was never my literature. That was why I love math, because it was easier than English for me. So for me, I wasn't trying to come out with the Pulitzer Prize. For me, it's like, I just want to make sure the math makes sense and that you can understand it. So when I got some of those comments, eventually I had to get over it and be like, you know what? Until one of my good friends said, did you ask that, you know, when people would ask, and that one particular person that really hurt, because I admire them, they're like, did you tell her that you speak more than one language? I'm like, no, I should have reminded her on that, you know. I go, my languages are not perfect, but you know what, it does not matter, because my purpose and my experience is what I wanted to show. And then obviously, guess what, I could hire editors to do that for me. So for someone that has all these like, why I'm not a good writer, and you know, it can be therapeutic, it can help you get past what you're going through. And for me, it was dealing with student debt, dealing with losing my job, you know, having a mortgage to deal with by myself as well. I was 31 when I got married, so I was a single woman, and, you know, dealing with most things that most women don't do at my age. And so I figured, you know what, who better to talk about it than someone that's lived it. And so for me, you and I've talked about this, representation matters. And I want women to understand that they can definitely own property. They can definitely go to school and put themselves through school. They can definitely pay down their debt and deal with their money story, make it better and not feel afraid. So for anyone that's writing, I highly recommend just start writing it and start getting accountable with people that will help you with that process, because it takes time and there's moments where you want to quit. My children's book, actually, that comes out next month. I'm so excited. It's co-written. And that took over four years, because you also have illustrations and all these things. And, you know, but that's what it is. It's persistency, you know? So, yeah.
To learn more about the podcast, check out financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. For more interviews, make sure you look up Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on YouTube and Instagram TV. To hire the Trailblazer, as Forbes featured her the financial and mental health advocate for your next workshop or speaking engagement, follow Natalie at Financially Savvy Latina on all social platforms. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.